Romans 15. No. We might actually finish Romans one of these days.
You said one of these days, right?
Are you saying anybody's lifetime?
We finished Ecclesiastes. Do what?
Towards the end, there's lots of greetings and salutings.
I know. Well, except that some of those, to identify some of those people is kind of interesting. We stopped in verse 9. That the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." Let's look at that one. Psalm 18. I'm sorry. Verse 49. Somebody read it.
"Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name."
Okay. But, and in the way Paul talked it, he said, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing praise and sing unto thy name." So, anyway, we talked about that again. Stay going around there. Next, go to Deuteronomy 10, verse 32.
Stay going around there?
Never mind. Just
Deuteronomy 32,
verse 43.
We can hardly hear you because of this earthquake.
Cool. You could always sit over here, Ronnie.
Yep. No, I'm fine where I'm at.
Way too low.
Chapter 32, verse 43. And I'm going to read it, what he said here. And then we read what in verse 10 in Romans, he said, "And again he saith, Rejoice ye Gentiles with his people." So what does 43 say? So the point here is that he sometimes calls the Gentiles heathen, and in there he calls it the nations. And now one more, verse 11 is Psalms 117, verse 1.
I mean, is it the same word that's just translated differently, or does he use different words?
Well, one is Hebrew, one is a different language.
Oh,
well,
so
it's
nations, heathen, and Gentiles, right?
Yeah. But it's in Hebrews, the Hebrew, it's the same word. Okay. But that's the... Okay, now in verse... What did I just say? Psalm 117.
That's the shortest, prettiest little psalm I've ever seen.
I know.
How come you haven't written a
read
that
psalm? Read verse 1.
John is the shortest verse in the Bible.
No, it's not. Verse 1.
It's the shortest book.
Read it, John.
"Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people."
Okay, and then in Paul's, it was, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." All right, then this is what we're going to talk about this morning. Go to Isaiah chapter what? Chapter 11. Verse 10. Okay, in Paul's version of it, he said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. So read, somebody read it.
What verse? 10?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
After that, or verse 10?
10.
And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious.
Okay. Now, the point of all this is Paul is making the case that the law in the Old Testament prophesied that this mystery of God would be proclaimed to heathen, pagans, whatever you want to call them, some other than the people of the circumcision. And this really upset, these scriptures upset the hardline Jews at the time, because they were convinced that because of their birthright, i.e. being in of the genetic line of Abraham, that they were the only ones that were the people of God, and that the birthright gave them the access to the kingdom of God, unless they did something totally off the wall and outlandish. Now remember, the reason this is important is for John's baptism, he caused the people to cross the Jordan, the river, to go to the other side. And so the people that his baptism of quote-unquote repentance was, the repentance was that even those people who everybody at that time believed were the children of God, they had to cross over and become as the other people, as the Gentiles, as the nations, as the heathen, because they had no right to go into this mystery of the kingdom of God. And then in his baptism, then they crossed over to the other side. They were confessing. That was an act of repentance. And then as they were baptized, you remember we went through all this at baptism. You go under the water. You are buried under the water, and you assume the fetal position under the water. Then you rise, and you're overcome by the weight of the water and the darkness, etc. And you look up, and you rise up, and that's symbolic of being born again. And so that whole process, John said, now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. He was saying that it was no more, no longer anything after the flesh, because all men had to go through this to be born again. Now, this is a big deal, because he in the Roman church, or the Roman who this was being written to, it was both Jews and Gentiles that were part of that assembly. And so, and there were all kinds of arguments about that the Jews were better than the Gentiles and all this. So this is what Paul is saying here. He's combating the idea that the Jews, the circumcision, if you will, had anything greater than the regular people. Okay?
I prefer people of the foreskin
instead of the circumcised.
No comment. Okay, down verse 13. This is what we're going to study today. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to translate verses 10 through 12 there in Romans 15. And again he says, rejoice all you Gentiles with his people. And again, extol him, all you Gentiles. Let all extol him. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a sprout from the root of Jesse, even one who arises to be a ruler of the Gentiles. Upon him will the Gentiles place their hope. Now, this idea, it's the actual word there is the root of Jesse, but it, in the context, it would be a sprout from the root of Jesse. This is no, I mean, the root of Jesse is always, it's a messianic, what can I say, messianic prophecy in all of the Old Testament. And the mystery is that the root, i.e. the lowest place in the earth, and a sprout from that root would come to reign over all. So it prophesies of his humility. But let's look at Isaiah 53 and see if we can get a better understanding of what all this root stuff means.
Jesse
was David's father, right. And an offspring of Ruth, you know, the whole. This is why, again, I talked about this last night. If Jesus Christ came in and walked through the door right now, there would be no way that he could prove that he was the Messiah. Because all of the genealogical records are gone. The only thing that he could do was to do tricks to cause people to come after him. This is critical. And this is why all this stuff, this premillennial and rapture people and God is, Jesus is going to come back over there and reign for 1,000 years is so crazy, because he couldn't prove he was Messiah. All genealogical records are gone. Do you understand the importance of that, or am I just...
Well, he's already done that.
Well, I know, but how is he going to prove that he's Messiah when he comes back?
I don't know that anybody would be asking that question.
But
he's getting blown away.
All right. I'm not communicating, and I don't want to communicate in that anyway. So. Isaiah 53. This is the eternal question. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the or the seed or the strength of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now, there is nothing in the human mind that would desire Christ. It's only after you have come to the end of all of the imaginations of the mind that you can even begin to understand and know him. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of this dry ground. He hath no form, he hath no comeliness, he hath no beauty that when men see him, they would desire him. He is despised and rejected of all men. This is why it's not Jesus and me. You must be born again, because as long as you're operating on the basis of your mind, on the basis of the human race, on the basis of time and space, then you will always reject him. This is critical. It says Jesus was the last Adam. If he was the last Adam, then who are you? And so these are just many, many of the things to show, to prove to us that we have to die. We have to fall into the ground and die. We have to recognize it. To quote one of our members, you can't be godded out. That's another story. The one that said it knows what I'm talking about. All right. Back to Romans 15. The God of hope, in verse 13. The God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Our problem is, the human race's problem is that we hope, we take the word hope and we apply it to what we think we are hoping for. As I've told you so often, the word hope in the New Testament is never separated from his resurrection in you. It's Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, the hope of the human race is typified in those one of those seven usurpers of the land of Canaan. We've talked about this before, but this is a good time to remind you of it. You know, and the best way to illustrate this is Benny Hinn was confronted in the 60 Minutes Australia piece by this what they call the presenter, and he in essence said that even if what I am telling you about this person's healing or this person's, even if it is wrong, at least I'm giving people hope. And that is the predicate for all of these guys and all of their lies and all of their promises. At least I'm giving people hope. Well, so is a snake oil salesman giving people hope. So is a con man giving people hope. You cannot separate hope from the resurrection. If you do, you will be deceived. Now, remember, we studied that the last tribe, the last of those seven tribes to be defeated was, or were, the Jebusites. And the Jebusites were the tribe that controlled the land that Jerusalem is on, and you remember David bought that land from the Jebusites. But the scriptures are clear. It says the Jebusites are there still, even unto this day. And we'll go into this again on Monday. But that nothing. Let's go to Revelation 17.
We keep repopulating it with our own agendas.
But it's all one.
Yeah.
It's all the same. It's all just the Jebusites still there.
And so there's no room left for this real hope that it's talking about here, because we're filling that space up with all of our stuff that we hope about.
Revelation 17. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk on the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. Now that the filthiness of her fornication isn't even recognized. The rest, 99.99% of the people think that that's all of the things they want. All of the good things. Now, watch. And upon her forehead was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman, drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And that doesn't mean he was admiring her. It means he was in awe of this massive thing, of this massive deception. Well, go down to verse 9. I just want you to see this. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains upon which the woman sitteth. And these are the seven mountains or the seven tribes of Canaan. And each, the land of Canaan is a land that is us. It's the land of Canaan means in Hebrew merchants, and it's the land of buying and selling and you know the whole of sorcery and getting to how do I get rich and how do I get this and how do I get that. Now, hopefully, at this point, the assumption is that the other six tribes and six of the mountains on which she had been sitting have been gone. Now the only one that's remaining is the Jebusites. And you cannot come to the fullness of the mystery of God and the finished work of Christ until you see that those that Jebusite, that last tribe, is hope. And all the things that you hope for that have nothing to do with the resurrection of Christ. Oh, I hope my kids grow up right. Oh, I hope this. Oh, I hope that. Oh, I hope this. Oh, I hope I'm healthy. All of the good stuff, because it looks like gold and silver and precious stones, all of the stuff that you desire. And it's only by the grace of God and by the Holy Spirit that you will ever see that that all has to be destroyed in order for this mystery of God to be complete in you. Remember from Isaiah 57, it says, how many times in your life have you been wearied in the greatness or the heaviness of your way? But then it says, yet you saith not, there is no hope. For you found the life of your own hand, therefore you were not grieved. So this has to happen. You have to come to a point where you stop finding the life or the hope of your own hand or your own imagination. Am I communicating? No matter all these so-called good things that you hope for are that which is keeping you from the mystery of God. It's the last enemy to be destroyed. I mean, the last of the seven tribes to be destroyed are all, and the members of the Jebusites are legion. How many things have you hoped for? And hopefully you found that all of those things that you've hoped for are smoke and mirrors. But until that happens, you'll still keep on going and going, getting wearied in the greatness of your way. But you still have the hope of your own hand. And so therefore the Jebusites still reign, and the whore still has a place to sit. A little bit of understanding?
Yeah, last night we were reading about the description of New Jerusalem, which it has all these elements in it. It has jewels and, you know, all these things are described for both of them, the whore and the bride.
Amen.
You know? And it's like, that's a weird thought. It's just one little point kind of thing, you know. It's me or not me.
What was that?
That was a mistake. On my phone, and it was a mistake.
What was that sound?
That's the sound it makes when it turns on.
That's the mistake. Programming that sound in.
So that's the sound you programmed for that?
I'd like to tell it to not be so loud. I'm going to figure out how to tell it to be more quiet when it turns on. It came that way.
Did you have that? Did
you have vibrating? It's not vibrating.
My phone has a vibrate.
You
will vibrate in my
pocket. We're getting off topic.
You walk around hoping your phone will ring? Take it, big guy.